Hey guys, welcome to the third episode of A Moment for Mom podcast. This is your girl, Nyris. Today we're going into a very important, sensitive topic, infertility and miscarriage. And this is a very important topic to talk about. Infertility is something that's close to home for me because I struggled to get pregnant. And I feel that there's a lot of women out there going through infertility or have had miscarriages, and it's not spoken of enough because of fear of being judged or being thought of as having a wanting people to feel sorry for them, or a lot of other feelings that you go through when you're going through this journey. And I think it's so important for us to shed light and to give it a voice so that those women that are going through this can feel like, you know what, I'm not alone, and maybe help someone else that's going through it and help them feel like they have support and that they don't need to feel alone. They don't need to feel embarrassed, or whatever the case may be, you know. And I'm very excited because I have a special guest joining me today, so that we both can talk about this journey, and with the hopes of, helping others and helping ourselves as well, because this is not an easy thing to talk about. This is not a subject that, oh yeah, let's just talk. This is something that's deep and it's sad and it's dark, but it's also important. So let me add my special guest, and I'll be right back. Before I bring my guest, I wanted to give you guys a little information, a little facts and statistics about what infertility is for those people that may know but they're not sure. So infertility means not being able to get pregnant after 1 year of trying and 6 months if the woman is 35 years or older. One third of the infertility cases are caused by women's problems, and another third are due to the man. Other cases are a mixture of both. There's different causes of infertility in women, usually problems with ovulation. So if you have irregular periods or absent periods, these are signs that you don't ovulate normally. And that could lead to having issues trying to get pregnant. And ovulation problems are often caused by polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is PCOS. And PCOS is a hormone imbalance problem which can interfere with normal ovulation. And PCOS is most common. It's the most common cause of female infertility. Primary ovarian insufficiency, POI, is another case cause of ovulation problem in women. And POI occurs when a woman's ovaries stop working normally before she's 40. POI is not the same as early menopause. And there's like a lot of other less common fertility problems in women, like blocked fallopian tubes, physical problems in the uterus, uterine fibroids, and in men it could be a problem called varicocele and a number of other things. And sometimes a man is born with problems that affect his sperm, and other problems start later in life due to illness or injury. So there's a lot of different causes. But the statistics is about 10% of women, 6.1 million in the US, ages 15 through 44, have difficulty getting pregnant or staying pregnant, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That's crazy. A lot of people don't know that. So imagine 6.1 million. That's a huge number. So now I'm gonna add my guest, and I'll be right back. I just wanted to give you guys like a little background so that you guys can better understand for those people that don't know or those people that don't have the general idea of what it is. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Alex.
Hi, Nyris.
How are you?
Good,
This is
good.
my special guest, everybody.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
Alexandra, say hello.
Hello, everybody. I'm happy to join you.
Thank you for joining me. I'm very excited.
Of course.
I've known Alex, I think she's since she was born. No, kidding. She's been my sister's best friend for how long, Alex?
22 years.
22 years. So that's a
Little
long time.
babies.
Yeah, you guys were my babies. So right before I added you, I think that's probably why you were having issues, is because I was giving like the statistics. I did a little research before I was doing the segment. I was doing a little research on the statistics of infertility,
Okay.
and I was saying that 10% of women, that's like 6.1 million in the US, ages 15 to 44, have difficulty getting pregnant or staying pregnant. So
Wow.
it's a lot of things that you don't you when you go through it, you don't really know, like these statistics. But I'm sure there's a lot of women that have no idea of the amount,
It's very common.
It's very common, and it's also something that not a lot of people share. Because, like, obviously, this is a very sensitive, private, sad, lonely, depressing topic, and most women never talk about it, and they never truly say what they feel, what they go through. And a perfect example is that I asked a few women, including you, to pe people that I personally know, to join me to share their stuff, and they were reluctant because of fear of being judged or being, transparent and not knowing what to expect from others, exactly, et cetera. But I think that this is especially why it's crucial to have this conversation. You know what I'm saying?
I think I
So.
was like that a long time ago. I didn't want to talk about it. I was scared of what people thought. People have their own opinions and feelings about infertility, and some people are very insensitive as well. So, it's definitely been hard, but now I'm okay with it. I'm not the only one that's gone through it. It's
Of course
millions of
not.
women. So, and I feel like it's important for not only women, but just for everyone in general to know.
Even men, because I feel
Exactly.
like a lot of times, men, I feel like men, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm speaking for all men, but I shouldn't, but I feel like men deal with things a lot sometimes better than we do, because we're just more emotional.
Yeah.
And they can, it's like, okay, it's sad, but they can kind of like let it go faster. You know
Yeah,
what I'm
but
saying?
I feel like it's important for women specifically to know, one, you're not alone, and that you can definitely find support from others who understand what you're going through, And then for those who have no idea, it'll give you a little bit of an insight into what a lot of women go through. It's a struggle, very sensitive topic, but it's something that happens every day,
So I guess I should start. Let's jump right into my first question. In one word, how was your infertility journey for you?
Scary. Scary because of I didn't know what to expect. So it was just very scary. It was just a lot. I can't just put it all in one word
It's hard. It's hard to put
because
it in one word, because it's like you go through so many emotions.
yeah, so it's like at times it's scary, at times you're hopeful, at times you have anxiety, depression. Like it's just so many feelings at once that.
For me, I feel like if I had to pick one word, I would say lonely. Even though I always had a lot of people around me, but it's still a lonely road that only you the person that's going through at the moment, because when you're going through it, you think you're the only person, especially when you have everybody around you has a baby or is pregnant or is this or is that. You know, you feel like it's almost like you feel like you're in a glass box looking at everybody outside of it, and nobody can really get in your box because they don't understand. So that's why for me, I felt it was a lonely road. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. Because, I mean, I did have support, and I knew there were people out there who I could confide in. But it's different because they're not in your situation. You
exactly.
Know?
Exactly.
They're not really.
And even if they say, like, oh, it's okay, you know, it's like, no, you don't understand. Yeah. You know? And it's hard, you know? Like, my next question is, like, what is the hardest part of the journey?
Of what, like infertility?
Yes. Like your infertility, because I know that for you, you struggled with infertility, but you also had a miscarriage. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying, like, before you even were able to get pregnant, what was the hardest part of that?
The possibility of me not being a mom ever. Like, that's, okay, so
that reality, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Like maybe it was to the point where, I mean, it's I was struggling for years, but it was like, maybe I'm not meant to be a mom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this not happening to me? Like, I'm supposed to do this. My body is supposed to work this way.
What's wrong with me?
Yeah, well, exactly. What is wrong with me? Why me? Mm-hmm. Like, so it was just that, like, wow, I might not ever be able to be a mom. So that was like my fear.
You know? And also, like, it's hard to be positive when you get hopeful and then it's like, nope, not pregnant again, you know? And it's like you have all this negative stuff in your mind, like, so it's hard. Like, I definitely agree. I would have to say the same for me too. It wasn't. And like, my next question is, do you feel that people around you were understanding and sensitive towards you?
Well, some, you know, I was very selective with who knew my situation, right? Because again, it's a very topic subject and not everyone might feel the same way. You know, people have their opinions. And unfortunately, in my case, I got maybe backlash from family members, you know, like people that were very close to me and just very insensitive, you know?
But when you say backlash, what do you mean? Like, elaborate. Let's be real. You don't have to say names of people, but like, what kind of backlash?
Who were against the IVF journey, who didn't believe in that. Well, you know, like, why are you doing IVF, you know? If you're not pregnant, like, why are you forcing it? That means maybe you're not meant to be a mom. Like, why are you going to And just people being insensitive, you know, people are not educated, or just even the constant, like, when are you having a baby, or why aren't you pregnant?
Exactly.
Yet? Why are you pregnant? And then just the way they would say it, them knowing kind of like what I've been through. Yeah. It's like, you know, you don't say that to people. And honestly, as soon as someone would ask me, I would just cry.
Yeah, because, you know, listen, for me, I feel like people around me, except maybe like my immediate family and some friends, but in general, like, yo, people are very insensitive. They don't understand that, like, this was a hard, hard, hard time for me. I was depressed, like, in a very dark, ugly place. And I might not have shown that because, like you, this is not something you want to tell people. Mm-hmm. This is not something that you're like, oh, let me get up and share. Hey, guys, I just want you to know. And then the people that you do say, like for me, for instance, I had a friend that I was very close to at the time. You know, we were close. And, you know, she got pregnant when I was trying to get pregnant. And I was trying to get pregnant for almost, I'm going to say, 2 and something years. And this person knew because I was, you know, you're my close friend. So you know what I'm going through. You should be a little bit more, you know? And her attitude towards me was, I'm telling you, if I was the type of person that didn't have a strong head on my shoulders, mm-hmm. These are the things that I say that people need to be careful what they say, because you could push somebody over the edge. I remember that this person told me, it's so unfortunate that I'm going through something so happy and you're not, and you can't be happy for me. You know, like, to me, it was just like, yo, it was like a stab in my heart, because it's like, do you know how depressed I am for you to tell me that? Do you know how sad it is for me to not be happy for you because I can't have a baby? You know what I'm saying? Like, you already have a child. I'm over here trying to have my first one.
Mm-hmm.
So that for me was, it was hard. It was very, very hard for me. And I just feel like people with the whole, oh my God, you know, I was with David already for almost six, it was going to be six, almost 7 years. So imagine how many times people would ask me, when are you guys going to have a baby? Are you guys going to mm-hmm. get pregnant? When mm-hmm. are you this and that? Why don't you have kids? And it's like, and you want to almost tell people, shut the up. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And
at first, it would be like, oh, you know, we're waiting for the right time. I mean,
exactly. You lie.
Struggling inside.
You lie because you don't want to go on to the whole conversation. So yeah. You're like, no, we don't want a baby right now.
Yeah.
I used to say that too. Like, oh, no, we don't want to have kids right now. We're waiting. When at the end of the day, it's like you're sitting there looking at everybody with their kids and you're mad. And people mm-hmm. don't understand why you're mad. People even judge you because of that. Like, oh, why are you mad? Like, mm-hmm. what the hell you mean why I'm mad? Put yourself in my shoes. Let me be mad. Let me be upset. Even if it's for one day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's easy for me to put myself in your shoes that you have kids. But can you do the same for me that I don't have? And I don't know if I'll ever be able to. You know, it's a very... I don't know how to, it's like, you can't put it into words unless you've gone through it, you know? And like, my next question is like, did you ever feel lonely? Yes. All the time. I did.
I did. Know. I mean, I had support, but then again, I still felt that way. A lot of anxiety, like before, you know, even like before being like in any type of fertility treatment, you know, miscarriages that I've experienced in the past, you know, it's just a lot.
It's a lot of stuff that you deal with on your own and you keep it inside.
You know,
have no idea.
Going through miscarriages and then trying to still live life, right? And then while you're living life, you're still struggling and even while you're under treatments, you're struggling, you know, and you're still going through a lot.
Yep. you still got to put a smile on your face.
And honestly, I was a very negative person through my infertility. I was very
negative. Oh, me too.
Very negative, even when we were going in the right direction when it came to treatment. I was negative, like, oh, no, this is not going to happen for me, no.
It's hard. It's I was the same. It's almost complicated to explain, you know. You can't really break it down. But was your significant other supportive?
He was very
supportive. About your infertility.
He was very supportive. He was always on board, you know, with anything. Like, hey babe, as long as you're okay, that's all that matters to me. Like, I want you to be okay. So I mean, mm-hmm. in that aspect, I can't say anything less.
I feel like David was the same. He was always very positive, very like, don't worry, it's gonna happen, don't worry, you know. And
but it's
like,
hard, you know, to hear right in the moment,
of course, like, okay, you don't want to like, yeah, okay, but no, mm-hmm. it's not. mm-hmm. It's not happening, you know. How did it affect you overall?
What do you mean? But like,
I mean, you said that you were negative. You were negative, but do you feel like it affected you, like at work, at school, with your friends, with your family, like you as a person?
Of course, I was miserable inside, you know, and. I don't know. It was always something I always thought about. It was it was to the point it was affecting me as a person. And it affects your own relationship as well, right? You want something so bad, you kind of forget. You're just working towards that, right? Mm-hmm. That's all you think about.
Yep, 24/7.
That at a point, it wasn't healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That I said, I mean, after a long time, I said, we need to stop. We just need to relax and just take it slow, because it was all about that. I want to get pregnant.
Yeah, and it takes over your life.
Yeah, and that's all I thought about. And I wasn't even enjoying anything. I wasn't enjoying my day. It was just, this is what I want. This is what we have to do.
Even sex becomes not enjoyable, because it's like, okay, let's go. Like,
yeah. The period tracker was my best friend.
Yeah.
Tracking, okay, I'm ovulating, let's go, you know? And it's like...
It's like, okay, let's go. It's not even happening like naturally. It's like,
yeah. And then after
let's we get to
yeah,
it,
yeah, realize like, you know what, it was stressing me more.
Yeah, because you catch yourself like, yo, so stressed out, you're not even really living the present. You're just so consumed with this, you know, and it affects you. Like, do you feel like it affected Luidani?
I think so. I think he felt it as well.
Like, do you feel not? I guess this is a two-part question. Like, do you feel that you guys struggling with infertility affected him as a whole? Or do you feel like it affected him because it was affecting you the way that it did?
I think it affected him because of how it was affecting me. But I always wondered, like, you know, let's say if I'm the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if I can't have kids, you know? What does he think? Like, can he be with someone that's not going to be able to have kids, you know? So in a way, I felt like he was maybe affected, but maybe he wouldn't really show it. But
yeah.
I would feel like maybe deep down inside, he wouldn't say it, but he would be like, you know, well, maybe we can't have kids, you know? And I always ask him, like, how do you feel about that? Like, what if I can't give you kids, you know? And he was still always supportive. Like, it's going to happen, you know? Just relax, you know? Let's take things slow, and things will happen when they're meant to. And
mm-hmm. Sounds like David.
I feel bad. You know, it's like, even through all this, all of my struggles, I felt bad for him. You get what I'm saying?
Of course, yes. I know what you're saying.
So it's like, it's just a lot of pressure, because it's like, I'm going through all this.
And now I'm bringing you into my problem.
Yeah.
And you know?
Yeah.
And that's another pressure that you're dealing with, because now it's like, now you're thinking about somebody else also, because it's like, I'm the one that, like, I used to think it was me, the problem,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
for a long time. And I remember one day, David got home, and I was in the, every day he would come home, and I was always in the bathroom crying every single day. And I was locked in the bathroom, and I remember he's knocking on the door, and I'm sitting in the bathroom crying, and he's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I want to break up. I don't want to do this, you know? And he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I cannot bring you into this, you know? Like, you deserve to be with somebody that can give you kids. That's not me. You know, like, I don't want to be together. That's- and I know you're not going to break up with me, so I'm going to break up with you. And he's like, he looked at me like I've always had three heads. He's like, listen, if we cannot have kids, we can't have kids. Like, I'm not going to not be with you because you can't have kids. That's not going to happen. We'll adopt. We'll get up. Like, we do whatever we need to do, you know? But I was seriously considering, like, yo, we need to get a divorce, because I know he's not going to do it, but I know this is going to affect him, because mm-hmm. I know you want kids. You know what I'm saying? So these are the little things that I feel like people don't take the time to find out and to understand. Because it's little things like that, you know what I mean? That can affect you as a person. I feel like it changed me. It changed me a lot. I was very negative. As much as I love children, and I've always been around children, because as you know, I used to take care of mm-hmm. all my cousins and everybody's baby. And I didn't want to be around kids. as much as people want to be acting, whatever, yo, the reality is when you are struggling with infertility, you don't care for nobody else's kids at that moment. You love them, but the reality is you want to be able to have your own also.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the harsh reality. And this is in no way me saying I don't love my nieces and nephews. I don't love my cousin and friend's kids. I love them to death. But at the end of the day, it's like I used to feel like I'm worthless.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's just you're seeing your surroundings and it's all your friends, families, popping kids like nothing. And then
or getting pregnant like nothing. Like
it just reminds you of like what you don't have. And it's hard.
Hello? Yeah.
Do you hear me?
I'm sorry. I just got an incoming call. I don't know how that happened. Sorry about that. What did you say?
No, I was just saying just being surrounded by family and friends and just, you know, them popping babies like every other day. And it just reminds you like, damn, I want this and I can't have this. Mm-hmm.
And people think that it's like...
But I was never bit. Like, I mean, everyone is different, but I was never bitter. Like I didn't want to go to an event because there were kids there, you know?
Me either. I didn't. But anytime I would hear somebody getting pregnant around me, it used to bother me.
Yeah.
It used to bother me because I used to be like, wow, that's never going to be me.
It's been a long journey for me.
And a lot of people think, like a lot of people assume that it's the same journey for every woman. Everybody does not have that. Oh, I got pregnant. I'm having a baby. Everybody doesn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I feel like if people took the time a little bit more to kind of understand that, they'll be a little bit more sensitive to those women that they see, even within their family, within their friends, that they see that been with their men or are a certain age and don't have children. It's like, damn, maybe they're struggling and they don't say it. Let me not ask them. Let me be a little bit more sensitive towards them because maybe they're like that. You know that saying that says, "Be kind because everybody's fighting a battle you don't know anything about."
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like people don't take that saying serious enough, especially when it comes to women, because we struggle with a million things, and people have no idea about it.
I know with like family, friends. Anyone that I know is going through a rough time because, let's say, they've told me, I try to encourage them so much and show my support to them, like, give them resources, like, hey, maybe you can do this, like, I highly recommend this, maybe you can start doing this, you know,
and mm-hmm.
just making them feel like I was there, trust me, I was in your same shoes,
yep.
And I thought at the time, I'm never going to be a mother.
I'm not worthy.
Yeah, I thought it would never happen to me.
Yep.
And it's like, just relaxed. It's hard to say.
Try. It's hard to say.
I know. Yep, I know.
It is hard.
It'll happen. Just don't beat yourself up about it.
And it's hard not to because of the pressure that society puts on women. It's like, if you don't have a baby, you're not a woman. You're not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have no value. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you're supposed to be a mother. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Which is ridiculous to me. Because there's many women that don't want to have kids. And that's okay. You know? And,
you know, I didn't know I had an infertility problem. Excuse me. I found out after I had all my miscarriages. I didn't know. I had two miscarriages. And the second miscarriage I had was life-threatening. And not a lot of people know that. Like if I would have gotten to the hospital a few minutes later, I probably wouldn't have been alive.
That's, you know, crazy.
Because it was just a very traumatic,
Baby loss. So you've had two miscarriages.
Yeah, I've had two miscarriages. And
what was that like? Like how did that make you feel? To like you find you're getting pregnant and now you lost your baby.
Oh my God. I can't even. It's like the worst. It was honestly the worst thing I've ever experienced in my life. The worst thing I've ever experienced. You know, the first time, my first miscarriage, it was my early 20s. And yeah, maybe I wasn't, you know, ready for it, right? But I still wanted it. And I was still happy about it. And I didn't know I was having a miscarriage. I went to the doctor for my ultrasound, and it's when they noticed, like, okay, I don't see anything yet. Maybe you can come back in a week and see if any, you know, you progressed or anything. And then they found out, hey, you have something called blighted ovum, where the baby never developed, you know? So it was kind of like a waiting game, like, well, you have to miscarry on your own.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to go and wait for it to happen.
Wow.
You know? Because your body will reject it eventually.
That's insane.
Right? And then, so that was very tough. And after that, still tough, you know, the years after that.
Mm-hmm. Then, how many years apart?
Three, 4 years apart. Yeah.
And then the last one was the one that was life-threatening.
Yeah, so I had an ectopic pregnancy.
And can you just elaborate what it is, like, for people that don't know what an ectopic pregnancy is?
An ectopic pregnancy is more of like a tubal pregnancy. So usually, okay, so it's when the fertilized egg stays in the fallopian tube, right? So instead of traveling up to the uterus and attaching, it stays in the fallopian tube. So you pretty much have a pregnancy growing in your fallopian tube. And you know, fallopian tubes are very thin.
Exactly.
So I had found out I was pregnant. And then maybe like 2 weeks after, I started experiencing like severe, sharp shoulder pains. Which was weird, because I'm like, why am I having shoulder pains, you know? And I remember I was in, me and Luidani were in the house, and I said, I'm not feeling good. We need to go to the hospital. My mom didn't even know I was pregnant. Because I had found out like maybe 2 weeks before, so I didn't even have the chance to tell a lot of people, you know?
Yeah.
So when we got to the hospital, I was experiencing these sharp pains. I couldn't even walk, literally. And once I was seen, they told me, you have an ectopic pregnancy. Like, you have internal bleeding in your abdomen, like, all over, you know, which...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And they told me you would have waited a little longer and you could have passed away. So I had to have emergency surgery there. And
oh my God.
Yeah, it was a lot. Like, and once
it's the side people don't talk about.
Yeah. And once I had emergency surgery, they also found out I had endometriosis, you know?
And you lose a fallopian tube, right? When you have an ectopic pregnancy?
You can lose a fallopian tube. They try to salvage it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it never functioned. It was, so I had two fallopian tubes, but one of them is blocked, you know, so that was like a whole nother deal.
That's like another experience that changes you and changes how you feel and.
Yeah, because that's when it became more realistic. Like, doctors were telling me, hey, you've had an ectopic pregnancy. This is very risky. There's a high chance that if you get pregnant again, it will happen, most likely, you know? So it's like, okay, so what do I do now?
So when you, obviously going through this, it makes you feel like the fact that you're having infertility issues makes you feel like less of a woman.
Yeah.
And then the fact that you can't even have the baby, mm-hmm. is like more pressure. Mm-hmm. I can imagine. I mean, I never had a miscarriage, but I struggled with infertility for a long time, and I know I felt like, you know, and it like, I think about it and I'm just like, why does having a baby make us feel like we're worthy? you know, and it's society's pressure, you know. It's basically that's what it is, you know.
Yeah, so after that happened, you know, then like you maybe 2 years after, that's when we decided like, okay, maybe we should look into a fertility specialist.
So how long overall were you trying to have a baby? Like before your, like from before the miscarriages? Oh, because you didn't know, you found out you were having...
Like my first pregnancy, it was a surprise. It wasn't planned, you know?
Okay.
The second pregnancy was another surprise, you know? We weren't planning it, but if it happened, then it happened, you know?
So 2 years after you had your last miscarriage,
Like 3 years, yeah. It was like 3 years after. And that's when I spoke with Ludani, like, what do you think about this? You know, he had full support, and we scheduled a consultation. I was very scared. Mm-hmm. And they're very quick. You'd be surprised how quick it is. You know, they ask you questions, and when it started to feel real, like, oh my God, we're really doing this, I got so nervous and I backed out. And I said, I don't know about, like, it was so weird because it's something I was ready for, but because it was happening, I got scared and I was like, I don't know if I'm ready, not right now. I can't explain, but I was just scared. And
you were probably scared of getting happy and then it not happening.
So then we took, you know, like 6 months after, then we went back, and that's when we really started the process. And it was a long process, and it's a very long process. It's a lot of emotions.
But you had, so basically your infertility was endometriosis, because that's what I had.
Yeah.
Also.
Mm-hmm.
Which basically, for people that don't know, endometriosis occurs when the uterine tissue implants and grows outside of the uterus, often like affecting the function of the ovaries, uterus, and fallopian tubes. That's what I had. I remember I had to get a laparoscopy to take out like a little piece, yeah, to test it and whatever, which was painful as hell. And that's when I knew I had endometriosis. So for me, I think we decided, David and I were trying to have a baby for over 2 years. And I remember, I don't know who it was that told, I think it was a friend of mine that was like, oh, you know, you guys should speak to a specialist just to see, you know. And David was always on board. He was like, Luidani, like, yo, whatever you want to do, let's, mm-hmm, do it. And, you know, I'm here to back you up. And when we went, I remember I was so like, this, I don't even know why we're doing this, because I'm not going to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a waste of time. And I remember sitting at the doctor's office first. When I met the specialist, they put me on the fertility, which is obviously not invasive. It's like the pills that they give you to like ovulate more. Yeah. I forgot what's the name of those pills. They put me on that for a month. Then they had to take me off because I was ovulating too much, and then I was getting cysts. So they had to take me off of that. So imagínate, I'm trying to get pregnant, then they give me something and that doesn't work. So I'm already like even more depressed, because I'm like, look at that. I can't even get pregnant with these pills, you know? And I had a friend that got pregnant with the pills and she had twins, you know? Oh, wow. So I was like, this is never going to happen, you know? And then the doctor that I was working with, he was like, listen, you guys have been trying with me for a year, because I was doing the process with this doctor. Like, after we decided to go to him, to go to the specialist, we were going to the offices doing, finding out, because like you, I was scared. Like, I don't know anybody that did, mm-hmm, any treatment or anything. Like, people around me just got pregnant. So this was all new to us, you know? And a lot of people also were like, why you have to do that? You know, you have to have faith in God. It's going to happen when it's going to happen. Yeah. I never had to do, you know, especially older people.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, they're like, they don't believe in stuff like that, the science, mm-hmm, and da, 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 da. So finally, he tells us about IVF, you know, which is in vitro fertilization. And he's like, look, there's a form, because a lot of people don't know, IVF is very expensive.
Yes.
At that time, for me and David, it was like $20,000. And right there, when he told us $20,000, I was like, I'm never going to have a baby. This is never going to happen. So then he's like, you know, there's a grant in New York that they give to certain people that have been trying for over a year. I'll sign it off, just complete it. But the whole time, I remember even signing that form, like rolling my eyes. I was like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're so like, you almost feel like you've tried it all.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is going to change?
I was like, that was very negative.
So negative, you know.
But in vitro, yeah, that is very expensive. And not a lot of states cover that, you know, usually.
Yep,
the state insurance, you know. I mean, I was thankful that here in Massachusetts, the health insurance covered my whole procedure. Wow. Yeah.
Lucky, man.
Yeah. And as soon as I found that out, I was like, I have to take advantage. We only had to pay the deductible, but that was about it. So I was very blessed.
That is a blessing, because that's, for me, my insurance didn't cover it. My insurance will cover the follow-ups and the treatments before, because there's a process to IVF. It's not just, okay, come, mm-hmm. we're gonna... Basically, IVF, they take the mature eggs. The mature eggs are collected, right? They retrieve them from your ovaries, and then they take the fertilized sperm in a lab, and basically the embryo, and they're transferred. Once the fertilized egg and the sperm is an embryo, then it's transferred to the uterus. That's basically what the IVF is. But before that, before you even get to that process, it's like a month. Do you remember of the whole thing that you have to inject?
Mine's was longer, but because, you know, at the beginning, they have to make sure everything looks good, right? They run
yep.
tests. In my case, mm-hmm. they did like it's called a hysterosalpingogram. It's called a HSG.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure like your fallopian tubes are functioning. Obviously, in my case, only one was. They check, make sure you're not anemic, make sure you don't have any problems, you know, anything. So,
oh my God, I think I had that done.
Yeah. So in
you know, that was it painful?
It was a little, yeah, it was uncomfortable, because it's like a blue dye they put through your that runs through your fallopian tube. So it's like it's more of a crampy feeling.
Yeah, I had to do that.
Yeah,
I had to do that to make sure, because before you even do the IVF, you have to make sure like your fallopian tubes are fine.
Yeah, because they need to see like what's going on, like why are you not getting pregnant?
Yes,
you know.
Yes, yes, I had to do all of that.
So I had all that done, and then through blood work, then they discovered I had a thyroid problem, which I never had before.
Oh my God.
I couldn't start anything until that was situated. So I was on medication for that. So like there were things that came up that I had to be treated for that before we started like all the shots and all that stuff. So I think for me it was maybe like a 3-month process.
Yeah. But I mean the process before even getting the embryo transferred into the uterus, you have to spend a whole month.
Oh yeah,
injecting these hormones
mm-hmm.
into yourself every day.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, I have to do this myself.
Yeah, exactly. I'm super scared of needles. Like, I don't even know. I remember I had to have David do it, because I'm like, I cannot inject myself. I don't. And I remember I would have to. I remember for Jenny's baby shower with Jordan. Mm-hmm. I had to go to the car and I had to have Jadira and Amadaline inject it for me, because I could not do it. I remember that I had to do it for a whole month. And then it's like, okay, then the guy has to go and give his sperm.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was a time that I went to this clinic, right? And I was like 20. I was in my 20s. And I'm sitting there, and there's a whole bunch of people that are, like, obviously a lot older than me, you know, mm-hmm. in their 30s, in their late 30s, in their 40s. And a lot of these women have been there for, like, 4 cycles, and they don't get pregnant, you know. And here I am, my first cycle, and I'm freaking nervous as hell. And I'm just like, yo, what am I going to do if it doesn't happen the first time?
And because they tell you too, this is not 100% chance. There's not like a guarantee that you're
exactly
pregnant, you know. Yep. There's a chance that it may not work. So
yep, there's a chance, there's a high possibility it's not gonna work, and you might have to come back for another cycle. Because for me, they did my first cycle, they put in two embryos, right, which are eggs,
yeah,
two, and then they saved two. So in case the first cycle didn't take, mm-hmm. then I have two more to put, right? But those two that they put could separate and turn into
four,
three, four, six, you know? So that's also a risk also, you know? And then you are worrying about the fact that, is my baby going to be healthy? What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. Like, it's so many things that you're going through at the same time that, I don't know, man. It's a very, I know
when I met with the specialist, not that I wanted two embryos, but I felt like, what if one doesn't make it? Then at least I'm pregnant with one. Or what if you only put one and then nothing happens, right? You know?
Exactly.
So that's,
I mean, they told me, they're like, listen, we always put two, because if one doesn't take, the other one, you still have a choice for that.
Yeah, that's
other
what
one.
I thought. But for some reason, in my case, my doctor was like, nope, we're just putting one.
So for you, you obviously got pregnant like me on the first cycle.
Yes.
Thankfully, mm-hmm. you know, and thankfully we have our beautiful, healthy children.
Yes.
And I don't know if this happened to you, because you have two children and I have three. So, you know, we both had two different pregnancies. Most people thought when I got pregnant with my twins, everybody swore up and down that I had IVF.
Yeah.
To get pregnant with the twins. And I'm just like, you know, and a lot of people thought like I was lying about it. And I'm like, why would I lie or hide that? I'm not embarrassed about that. That's not something I get embarrassed about. If anything, I'm freaking grateful that I was that was even an option. Because of that, I'm a mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gave me my first son. So that's not something I would hide. Like, if I had to use in vitro again, I would have done it.
Oh, but yeah.
It was a blessing. I honestly to God, when I found out I was pregnant with my twins, I took a test, and I remember I didn't even believe the test, because I was just like, I am not pregnant. Because when you do IVF, when you're doing, for people that don't know, when you do IVF, it's not like when you just get pregnant, like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. I never had that.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know what that was like. I was waiting for a phone call. Like, oh, you're pregnant. Because that's how they called me. Like, oh, you're pregnant.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not the same as when you get pregnant by yourself and you pee on a damn little stick. It's not the same.
I know. I think for me too, once, I mean, I was shocked. I remember I had just started a new job, and I found out, like, actually we went to Jersey. It was for Leah Sars and Stephanie's baby shower, right? And I'm expected to get my period that weekend, and my period's always on point. And mm-hmm, and I didn't get it. So, but I still didn't think I'm pregnant, because no, I can't get pregnant.
Exactly.
And I'm like, I'm just late. And Luidani would exactly be like, babe, you're like 2-3 days late. And I was like, no, yeah, I'm just late. And then when we got back, that next day I took a test, and I didn't even tell him I was taking a test, because I said, hey, if it's negative, I'm not even gonna tell him I took a test. So I told him, Zayana had a doctor's appointment. I told him, hey, can you go take her, blah blah blah. And as soon as that test turned positive in like 2 seconds,
mm-hmm.
I was just like, what? I called my mom, and I was like, mommy, I just like a test. And she's like, ¿y cómo? Like, how? Like, I, you know, like, how did this happen? I was like, well, you know, pero. It was a shock. A lot of people thought I did IVF too. And I was shocked.
But it's like, if we're vocal about doing IVF the first time, why would we not say it the second time? You get what I'm saying? It's so stupid. I don't understand why people have to question you. If you tell me no, that's it. It's not like, are you sure? I think I'd be sure if I did IVF or not.
To me, it's just crazy. It's just crazy how life works, man.
Yep. And my mom, you know, because my mom was, she obviously, my mom is old school. She doesn't know about IVF and whatever. She found mm-hmm. out about it through me. And she still swears up and down that the fact that I had IVF the first time is what helped me get pregnant naturally the second time. And I was like, listen, mom, to be honest. God wanted me to get pregnant. God wanted me to have my twins because, first of all, I got pregnant. I didn't even believe I was pregnant. I remember I sent the picture to Jolly and she's like, yo, you're pregnant. And I'm like, no, I'm not. She's like, yes, you are. It's a fucking cross. You're pregnant. Listen. And then I was like, what? And when? She's like, yo. And she couldn't even believe it because she's like, how? And I remember that the weekend before, I was late. I was never late. So I was late 4 days. And I was like, que raro. That weekend coming up, it was my friend's birthday. And we went out. And I remember that as we're having dinner and I'm having a drink, for some reason, I didn't want to drink. I had a drink, it como que my body was rejecting it. It was almost like, nah. And I feel like my body knew because then that was a Saturday. That Monday, I took a test and it came out pregnant. I was already late 7 days. And I was late 7 days and I had never been late. So I took it and it was positive. And I was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. And then I remember I told David and he couldn't believe it. He was like, what? You know, so it's exciting when it happens, but I feel like it's a blessing, you know? It's that's why, like, now I can say, like, listen, if you haven't got pregnant and you're struggling, I know what that feels like. But I feel like there is a sun after that rain, you know what I'm saying? After that rain shower. Yeah, and it's sad, but.
And I mean, that's like, there are many ways to treat infertility, just for people who don't know. You just don't have to make IVF. It just depends on your situation.
Yeah, everybody's situation is different. There's IUI, which is basically them taking the sperm and actually putting the sperm directly in your uterus. That's mm-hmm. less invasive. That's IUI. What we had is IVF, and that's more invasive because it's almost like a mini little procedure that you're having done, you know? So it's a different process. My other question is, what is one thing you would have liked people around you to understand while you were going through infertility? Like, if you could have told them something that you didn't say, what would it be? Or if, like, let's say if I told you right now, I'm going through infertility and, you know, this and that, like, what would be one thing you would recommend to me to tell people?
To tell people, you mean like
around you?
Like, if someone's going through something, like, what would I, like, what advice I would give them, or?
Yeah. Like, what would, like, for you, like, during that time, what would you have liked people around you to understand about your struggle, about your process?
Like we mentioned before, just that sensitivity, you know, and a little, hi, how are you? How are you feeling? You'd be surprised that goes a long way.
Yep.
Like, it's. You'd be surprised, you know, even if it's a text message, you know,
mm-hmm.
how are you feeling? You know, do you need to talk? You know, Because sometimes you, I'm very private, but once you start asking me, then I start venting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, it was hard, like, and not to, I remember, I know you were, you had gone through it, so as soon as I found, you know, we decided we were going to go through this process, the first person I thought about was you.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Like, this is the only person I feel like understands what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm. I feel like our story is, except with the miscarriage, I feel like our stories are very similar in a lot of ways, you know, and I feel like I relate to you a lot, and I know that's why I was like, listen, whatever you need, I'm here, even if you just need somebody to talk to, mm-hmm. because I know I felt lonely, and I wanted to try to be there for you, you know, because I know it's important, and I know it's a sad time, yeah, and I know you feel worthless.
It affects who you are as a person, you know?
Of course.
Like, and of then course. I've been through, you know, I've struggled for years with the two miscarriages. And then the years leading up to me doing IVF, like, it changes you as a person. And then you don't talk about it. So people probably just assume, like, hey, what's wrong with this person? Why is she acting like this? But it's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's years and years of struggles, you know, and it changed me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people don't understand why you're not the same, why you're not so happy and mm-hmm. jumpy, and you know, sometimes you don't have things to be happy about, and a lot of people don't understand that. So I guess, like, my last question is not really a question, but what are your final thoughts on the subjects in general for people listening?
So, for anyone that has struggled, whether it's a miscarriage or infertility or both, it's important for you to know that you're not alone, and you can find support from others who understand what you're going through. And for those listening that don't understand, just be sensitive, you know, just embrace, you know, if you know someone's going through something, just embrace it, you know, just be there for them. But you're not alone, and don't feel like, yeah, I know you're going to say, why is this happening to me? But I don't want to sound cliche, but everything happens for a reason.
Yep. You know,
I never thought I would get pregnant. I never thought I would go through the IVF journey. Never in my life I thought I would be in that situation. And now, yeah, I've had two miscarriages. I've been through a lot, but now I have two beautiful kids, you know?
Yeah.
So just don't put so much pressure on yourself. And yes, I put a lot of pressure on myself, but now looking back, it's like, wow. One thing I can tell someone is it'll happen. Just, you know,
give it time.
Yeah, give it time. And just do your research. See what's out there, you know?
Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid to talk about it. At the end of the day, listen, if we don't voice, one thing that I've learned, because I'm a very private person. I haven't been for a few years from now, as I got older, because I feel like it's important for me to talk about things that I've gone through. But I've always been very private about my stuff, and I've always been the type of person that I always put myself and my feelings last, because I want to be there for everybody else.
Yeah.
And a lot of times what happens is you're there for everybody, and you're looked up as this superwoman. But in the behind closed doors, you're crumbling, you're dying, you're sad, you're alone, and you're hoping, you're wishing that somebody would extend their hand to you without you having to ask. And that's my problem. That's always been my problem. I don't like to ask for help. I don't like people feeling sorry for me.
Yeah, I'm the same.
And for me, it was so... This is not an easy thing to talk about. You know, it may seem like we're so comfortable talking about it, but that's because we've dealt with it,
mm-hmm.
and we're okay voicing it. But this is hard, you know, this is hard. This is sensitive. And it's not in any way for people to feel sorry for us, because this is not what this is about, you know? And I know that when you're going through it, a lot of people look at you like, oh, she wants people to feel sorry for her or da da da. And it's nothing. That's not what it is. It's be a little bit more sensitive. Be a little bit more sensitive. Take the time to really, really think. Why is this person always look so miserable?
Mm-hmm.
Why does this person always look mad?
Mm-hmm.
Why does this person this and that? Whatever it is, because everybody's different. Everybody shows it differently. We all know somebody that's struggling with something and they show it, the way they portray it is different. So you have to just take the time to be a little more conscious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just like I said earlier, be kind. Everybody's going through fighting a battle that you know nothing about.
And I like to just say one last thing. For men, I mean, also, it's good. Be educated about it. Infertility is not something that just happens to women, you know? Yep. Sometimes it's assumed that it's always the woman, that she's the problem, you know? But you'd be surprised. A lot of men struggle with infertility, and some don't even know about it. Or if they, you know, so it's very important for men to also.
Yeah, because it's right away. Oh, it's the woman. Yeah. No, a lot of times it's the men. It's their, they have varicose veins. They have slow sperm count. They have slow sperm. There's a lot of things that can lead to it, you know. So having a partner that's supportive is crucial. You know, it's crucial. So for men, I feel like this is important. For you guys to understand that we're not okay. When you're going through this, we are not okay. Even if we say we are, we're not.
Yeah.
We're not okay because we're fighting this and we're fighting a lot of demons inside that we may not show to the world. So if your significant other is going through this, if you guys are struggling with infertility and you ask your girl, how you doing? Are you okay? And she says she's okay. She's not okay. You know, and all those listeners out there that have been able to get pregnant easily and just have their babies, make sure that you're checking on your friends, checking on your cousins, checking on your sisters and your friends and whatever, making sure they're okay because they're not. You know, and just be a little bit more conscious, a little bit more sensitive.
Yes. Well said.
Mm-hmm. So this was great.
Yes.
I'm so happy that you... I was very surprised that you said yes, even though I had you on the top of my list because I know how private you are. But I'm so happy that you joined me and that you gave it a voice and that you didn't feel like you didn't want to do it, you know?
So I was a little I was a little nervous at first, but hey, I'm not the only one that's gone through this. And what better way than to speak about what I've been through, and who knows, maybe that can help someone else that's listening, you know?
And at the end of the day, it's just two girls talking, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but.
And then for those who probably, you know, are close to us and didn't know, well, now you know.
Yeah, exactly. And hey, you know what? Now you understand our story a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? And for anybody else that you know going through it, now you'll know to pay a little bit more attention and be a little bit more cautious of asking why you're not pregnant. How come you don't have kids? You know, those little things matter.
Yes.
So thank you so much, Alex. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you. For joining me. So
thank you.
Take care. Give the babies a kiss. Say what's up to my cousin.
Same to yours.
Está bien. Good night.
Good night.
So that's the ending of my third podcast. I truly, truly hope you guys have taken the time to listen and take notes, mental notes. This is a very important subject, and I truly hope you guys enjoyed it. I truly hope that I can touch one person, because if I can touch one person, I'm making a difference, and that's what matters to me. This is the reason why I started these podcasts. So I hope you guys enjoyed, and I hope you guys stay tuned. And please share, and catch you on the flip side. If you want any more information about infertility or miscarriages, there are two websites that I recommend. The first one is www.mayoclinic.org. And the next website that has a lot of great information is www.womenshealth.gov. Hey, 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 everybody. Welcome to the sixth episode of A Moment for Mom. I know I took a long break, but I actually needed it. You know, the holidays, you know how that is. They can take over your life in a good way, in a good way. But, you know, I want to wish everybody a happy new year, happy holidays, the beginning of a new decade. So, you know, I'm hoping that everybody has a great fresh start and a great upcoming year. This episode is close and dear to me, and it's multiples and more. As a mother of twins, I feel it's very important to speak with other moms and myself on our experiences, because I feel it's a different experience. I feel that I always say this to people, and I always say it's like we're in a different dimension, and only mothers of multiples understand what it is like. And so, you know, I'm very excited to have this episode and just dive into it and speak to two special guests that also have multiples. And so that we can share our different experiences and different things that we go through with one another. And sometimes it could be different, but it's also similar. So give me a second while I add them to our combo. I wanted to Google a few things on multiples. And so basically, multiples is the culmination of one multiple pregnancy wherein the mother delivers two or more babies. If you are a parent that has twins, you can either have identical twins or fraternal. Identical twins result from the fertilization of a single egg that splits into two or more. Identical twins share all of their genes and are always the same sex. In contrast, fraternal twins, which is what I have, result from the fertilization of two separate eggs during the same pregnancy. Because fraternal twins are two separate fertilized eggs, they usually develop two separate amniotic sacs, placentas, and supporting structures. So the least common are identical triplets, which is three fetuses from one egg. Or quadruplets are very rare and result when the original fertilized egg splits and then one of the resultant cells splits again. Or even more rarely, a further split occurs for like quadruplets. And the statistics say multiples make up only about 3 in 100 births, but the multiple birth rate is rising. According to the National Center of Health Statistics, the twin birth rate has risen 70% since 1980 and is now 32.6 per 1,000 live births. The birth rate for triplets and other higher order multiples rose dramatically as well. I think it's great to have these statistics because, you know, every case is different. So I thought I'd share that with you guys. So that was the end of my podcast, Multiples and More. I think that it was long, but I feel like it was good because I felt like like-minded individuals share similar experiences. And as you can see, we our dimension is so similar that we connect in ways, and you know, the guests don't know each other, but yet they have experienced similar things and can relate in a level that parents with multiples would always relate. So I feel like this episode, although it may not apply to everyone, I feel like it's important to have touched on it, to have talked about it, to have shared it, because there's plenty of parents that have multiples, and I know that they'll be able to connect and they'll be able to hear it and smile and laugh or say, yep, definitely, at one point or another. So, you know, again, my podcasts are meant to touch one person, and every episode will not apply to everybody, and that's okay, because every situation is not gonna apply to you like life. But as long as I could touch one person, that is all that I'm trying to accomplish, that is all that I'm trying to get from this, and I hope that you guys enjoy it. I'm so grateful for my guests. Thank you again for joining me. I hope you guys enjoy. Please share. And I'll catch you on the flip side.